Chapter 3. A Visit to the Countess. Countess Olenska was not living at old Mrs. Mingott's now, and at 5:30 p.m. the next day, Archer rang at the door of her strange little house. It was an unusual area to choose to live. A long way down West 23rd Street, the house had an old painted front and plants stretching across the walls. May did not know that Archer was there. He wanted to tell her earlier, but the day was filled with more visits to friends and family. Sometimes he felt that he was shown to them like a wild animal. In the end, he and May were never alone together all day. "But I know that she wants me to be kind to her cousin," he told himself as he waited. The door was opened by a dark-haired girl who spoke to him in Italian. The only thing that Archer understood was that the Countess was out. The girl took him to the sitting room where a fire was burning and left him. Archer was surprised, but felt more interested than cross. He sat down by the fire to wait and looked around. Inside, the tired old house seemed warm and foreign. There were flowers everywhere, but as he waited, he began to feel embarrassed at being there alone. At last, he heard a carriage outside and got up to look out the window. By the light of the street lamp, he could see Julius Beaufort helping Countess Olenska out of his carriage. A few moments later, she came in alone. She did not seem at all surprised to find him in her sitting room. "How do you like my funny little house?" she asked. "To me, it's like heaven." "You've made it very pretty," he answered, disappointed at how boring this sounded. "What I really like is being here in my own country and my own town, and then being alone in it," she continued quietly.
"You like being alone?"
"Yes, if I have friends close by." She sat down by the fire. "But I can't stay here. It's not a good area, my friends say. I don't see why that matters, but I want to do what you all do. I want to feel safe. And it does feel safe here. Being here is like being taken on holiday when you've been a good little girl." Archer did not like to hear her laughing about New York like this. Didn't she understand what a powerful machine it was and how it could break her? "Last night, New York was on your side," he answered. "The Van der Luydens are the most powerful people in New York society. Sadly, Mrs. Van der Luyden is often ill and cannot have many visitors." "Maybe that's why they're so powerful," she replied. "They make themselves unusual by hiding themselves away." Archer looked at her. How could she speak about the Van der Luydens like this? Then he started laughing at the truth of what she said. And the Van der Luydens were brought down from heaven to earth. "But you must explain these things to me," she continued. "I need you to guide me."
"No, you are opening my eyes. I've stopped seeing some things because I've looked at them for so long."
"Then I can help you, too. But I need help much more than you."
Your aunt and your grandmother can guide you. They don't approve of me moving here, but I had to be free. There are only two people in New York who seem to understand me. You and Mr. Beaufort. Archer did not like to hear her talk of Beaufort and himself together. One day he could explain to her what Beaufort was really like. I understand, he said kindly. But your aunts and your grandmother want to help you. They like and admire you. She shook her head. I know. But only if they don't hear anything unpleasant. Oh, does no one want to know the truth here? She suddenly hid her face in her hands and began to cry. Countess Olenska. Oh, Ellen, don't cry, he said, hurrying to her side and taking one of her hands. Does no one cry here either? She said, looking up at him. At that moment, the dark-haired girl came into the room and announced something in Italian. Then the Duke of St. Austri entered, and the Countess got up to meet him. Archer was relieved to be able to leave. As he went out into the cold night, New York became large and powerful once more, and May, the loveliest woman in it. He usually sent her white flowers every morning, but he was late today, so he went straight to a flower shop. As he waited in the shop, he noticed some wonderful yellow roses. Should he send those for a change? But no, they were too rich and too strong for May's quiet beauty. Then, suddenly, he was buying the yellow roses and May's white flowers. He asked for the roses to be sent to Countess Olenska's address, but with no card to say who they were from. The next afternoon, Archer and May at last found time to escape together for a walk in Central Park. Archer thought that May looked more beautiful and innocent than ever as she walked at his side. But when I begin to show her the real world, what will she see? He thought. It's so wonderful to wake to the smell of flowers in my room every day, said May happily. Thank you. I'm sorry that they were late yesterday, he replied. I also saw some nice yellow roses, which I sent to Countess Olenska. Was that right?
How dear of you, answered May. It's strange that she didn't tell me when she came for lunch. She spoke only of the wonderful flowers that Mr. Beaufort sent.
Well, I'm sure that Beaufort's flowers were very superior, said Archer crossly. Then he remembered not putting a card with the roses, and was sorry for speaking about them. Should he tell May about his visit to her cousin yesterday? Not telling her seemed to make it a secret, which he did not like. To get away from this problem, he began to talk about a date for their wedding.
But everyone has a long engagement, said May. And aren't we fine as we are?
Archer was expecting her to say this. It was what her family said. But she was nearly 22. He wanted her to speak for herself. It will be much better when we're married. We could be together, and we could travel, he answered.
Newland, you're so different,
May said, laughing.
Different? We're all just the same, like dolls cut out of paper. Can't we do things our own way? He cried.
Heavens! Do you want to run away and be married secretly?
Why not?
We can't behave like people in stories, can we?
May was beginning to look a little impatient.
I'm not clever enough to explain, but wouldn't it be vulgar?
Archer said no more. That evening, he found his mother and Janie talking about Countess Olenska.
Yesterday, she allowed the Duke of St. Austrey to take her to the party of that vulgar woman, Mrs. Struthers,
Mrs. Archer told him.
Can't you explain to the Countess that society here is different?
At that moment, Mr. van der Luyden was announced.
I've just been to visit Countess Olenska to give her some friendly advice. He said, it isn't a good idea to allow the Duke to take her to parties. At our dinner, the Countess asked us to guide her in these things, so I decided to speak to her.
How kind, cried Mrs. Archer. Newland will be very relieved, because he's soon to become one of their family.
Archer saw the look that his mother gave him and thanked Mr. van der Luyden warmly. When their visitor was gone, Mrs. Archer shook her head and breathed out slowly.
Let's hope that everything ends well, she said.